Good evening, everybody. This is Father George Roth, and we're starting a little late because of technical difficulties, but I hope we'll be all right. And this tonight I'm going to be doing the letter of St. Louis de Montfort to the Friends of the Cross, which was an organization of people who were called the Friends of the Cross. And he gives us such wonderful spiritual insight on the importance of the cross of Jesus Christ. He starts off, "Since the divine cross keeps me in retirement and prevents me from speaking to you personally, I cannot and I do not even desire to express by word of mouth the feelings of my heart on the excellence and the practices of your association of the sacred cross of Christ. However, on this last day of my retreat, I leave the delights of the interior life to develop on paper a few little points on the cross with which to pierce your generous hearts. Would to God I could use the blood of my veins rather than the ink of my pen. But alas, even if blood were required, mine would not be good enough. I pray rather that the Spirit of the living God may be the life, strength, and guiding hand of this letter, that this unction may be my ink, the Holy Cross my pen, and your hearts my book. Friends of the Cross, you are like crusaders, united to fight against the world. Not like religious who retreat from the world lest they be overcome, but like brave and valiant warriors on the battlefield who refuse to retreat or even yield an inch. Be brave and fight courageously. You must be joined together in a close union of mind and heart, which is stronger and far more formidable to the world and to hell than are the armed forces of a great nation to its enemies. Evil spirits are united to destroy you. You must be united to crush them. The avaricious are united to make money and amass gold and silver. You must combine your efforts to acquire the eternal treasures hidden in the cross. Pleasure seekers unite to enjoy themselves. You must be united to suffer. You call yourselves Friends of the Cross. What a glorious title! I must confess that I am charmed and captivated by it. It is brighter than the sun, higher than the heavens, more magnificent and resplendent than all the titles given to kings and emperors. It is the glorious title of Jesus Christ, true God and true man. It is the genuine title of a Christian. But if I am captivated by its splendor, I am no less frightened by its responsibility, for it is a title that embraces difficult and inescapable obligations, summed up in the words of the Holy Spirit, a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a people set apart. A friend of the cross is one chosen by God from among thousands who live only according to their reason and senses. To be wholly divine, raised above mere reason and completely opposed to material things, living in the light of pure faith and inspired by a deep love of the cross. A friend of the cross is an all-powerful king, a champion who triumphs over the devil, the world and the flesh, in their threefold concupiscence. He crushes the pride of Satan by his love of humiliations. He overcomes greed of the world by his love of poverty. He retains the sensuality of the flesh by his... He restrains the sensuality of the flesh by his love of suffering. A friend of the cross is one who is holy and set apart from the things that are visible, for his heart is raised above all that is transient and perishable, and his homeland is in heaven. He travels through the world like a visitor and a pilgrim, and far from setting his heart on it, he looks on it with indifference and tramples it with contempt. A friend of the cross is a glorious trophy gained by the crucified Christ on Calvary in union with his Holy Mother. He is a Benoni, or a Benjamin, a child of sorrow and of the right hand, conceived in the suffering heart of Jesus, born from his pierced side and baptized in his blood. True to his origin, his life embraces the cross and death to the world, the flesh and sin, so as to live here below a certain life hidden with Christ in God. In short, a perfect friend of the cross is a true Christ bearer, or rather another Christ, so that he can truly say, I live now not with my own life, but with the life of Christ who lives in me. My dear friends of the cross, do you live in accordance with the noble title you bear? Or at least, have you a real desire and a sincere determination to do so with the help of God's grace, under the shelter of Christ's cross and of Our Lady's sorrows? Are you taking the means necessary for this? Are you walking along the true way of life, which is the narrow and stony way of Calvary? Or are you, without perhaps realizing it, on the wide road of the world, which leads to perdition? Are you aware that there is a highway which is to all appearances a straight and safe road, but which really leads to eternal death? Do you clearly distinguish the voice of God and His grace from that of the world and of human nature? Do you listen to the voice of God, our Heavenly Father, pronouncing His threefold malediction on all who follow the desires of the world? Woe, woe, woe to all the people on earth, the Father who stretches out his arms to you in loving appeal. Come out, my chosen people, dear friends of my Son's cross, away from the worldlings who have been cursed by myself, rejected by my Son, and condemned by my Holy Spirit. Beware of following their counsels, of sitting in their company, or even lingering on the road they take. Hasten away from the infamous Babylon. Listen only to the voice of my beloved Son, and follow only Him, whom I have given you to be your way, your truth, your life, and your model. Listen to Him. Do you listen to the voice of Jesus, who, burdened with His cross, calls out to you, Come after me, anyone who follows me. Anyone who follows me will not be walking in the dark. Be brave, I have conquered the world. My dear brothers and sisters, there are two companions that appear before each day, the followers of Christ and the followers of the world, two companies, that appear before you each day, the followers of Christ and the followers of the world. Our dear Savior's company is on the right, climbing up a narrow road, made all the narrower by the world's immorality. Our Master leads the way, barefooted, crowned with thorns, covered with blood, laden with a heavy cross. Those who follow Him, though most valiant, are only a handful, either because His quiet voice is not heard amid the tumult of the world, or because people lack the courage to follow Him in His poverty, sufferings, humiliations, and other crosses which His servants must carry all the days of their life. On the left hand is the company of the world, or the devil. This is far more numerous, more imposing, more illustrious, at least in appearance. Most of the fashionable people run to join it, all crowded together, although the road is wide and continually being made wider than ever by crowds that pour along it like a torrent. It is strewn with flowers, bordered with all kinds of amusements and attractions, and paved with gold and silver. On the right, the little groups which follow Jesus speak about sorrow and penance, prayer and indifference to worldly things, They continually encourage one another, saying, now is the time to suffer and to mourn, to pray and do penance, to live in retirement and poverty, to humble more and mortify ourselves. For those who do not possess the Spirit of Christ, which is the Spirit of the cross, do not belong to him. Those who belong to Christ have crucified all self-indulgent passions and desires. We must be true images of Christ or be eternally lost. Have confidence, they say to each other. If God is on our side, within us and before us, who can be against us? He who is within is us is stronger than the one who is in the world. The servant is not greater than his master. This slight and temporary distress we suffer will bring us tremendous and everlasting glory. The number of those who will be saved is not as great as some people imagine. It is only the brave and the daring who take heaven by storm, where only those who are crowned, who strive to live according to the law of the gospel and not according to the maxims of the world. Let us fight with all our strength. Let us run with all our speed, with all speed. Thus we may attain our goal with the crown. Such are the heavenly counsels with which the friends of the cross inspire each other. Those who follow the world, on the contrary, urge each other to continue their evil ways without scruple, calling to one another day after day, let us eat and drink and sing and dance and enjoy ourselves. God is good. He has not made us to damn us. He does not forbid us to amuse ourselves. We shall not be damned for so little. We are not to be scrupulous. No, you will not die. Dear brothers and sisters, remember that our loving Savior has his eyes on you at this moment, and he says to each of you individually, see how almost everyone deserts me on the royal road of the cross. Pagans in their blindness ridicule my cross as foolishness. Obstinate Jews are repelled by it as by an object of horror. Heretics pull it down and break it to pieces as something contemptible. Even my own people, and I say this with tears in my eyes and grief in my heart, my own people whom I have brought up and instructed in my ways, my members whom I admire, quickened with my own spirit, have turned their backs on me and forsaken me by becoming enemies of my cross. Will you go away? Will you also desert me by running away from my cross like the worldlings, who thus become so many antichrists? Will you also follow the world, despise the poverty of the cross in order to seek after wealth, shun the sufferings of my cross to look for enjoyment, avoid the humiliations of my cross in order to chase after the honors of the world? There are many who pretend are friends of mine and protest that they love me, but in their hearts they hate me. I have many friends at my table, but very few of my cross. At this loving appeal of Jesus, let us rise above our human nature. Let us not be seduced by our senses, as Eve was, but keep our eyes fixed on Jesus crucified, who leads us in our faith and brings it to perfection. Hebrews 12:2. Let us keep ourselves apart from the evil practices of the world. Let us show love for Jesus in the best way, that is through all kinds of crosses. Reflect well on these remarkable words of our Savior. If anyone wants to be a follower of mine, let him renounce himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Matthew 16:24. Practices of Christian perfection. Christian holiness consists in this. 1. Resolving to become a saint. If anyone wants to be a follower of mine. 2. Self-denial. Let him renounce himself. 3. Suffering. Let him take up his cross. 4. Acting. Let him follow me. If anyone says, Our Lord, to point out the small number of chosen ones willing to conform themselves to Christ crucified by denying their cross, their number is so small that we would be dumbfounded if we knew it. It is so small that there is scarcely 1 in 10,000, as has been revealed to several saints, including Saint Simon Stylites, Saint Basil, Saint Ephrem, and others. It is so small that should it please God to gather them together, he would have to call them one by one, as he did of old through his prophet. You will be gathered one by one. One from this country, one from that province. If anyone has a genuine desire, determination, not prompted by nature, habit, self-love, self-interest, or human respect, but by the all-conquering grace of the Holy Spirit, which is not given to everyone. It is not given to all men to know this mystery. In fact, only a few people have the knowledge of how to live out the mystery of the cross in daily life. For a man to climb Mount Calvary and allow himself to be nailed to the cross with Christ in the midst of his own people, he must be courageous, heroic, resolute, one who is close to God and treats with indifference the world and the devil, his own body and his own desire. One who is determined to leave all things, to undertake all things, and to suffer all things for Christ. You must realize, my dear friends of the cross, that should there be anyone among you without this determination, he is only walking on one foot, flying with one wing. He is not worthy to be in your company, since he is not worthy to be called the friend of the cross, which we must, like Jesus, love with a generous mind and a willing heart. It only needs one half-hearted member to spoil the whole group like a mangy sheep. If such a one has entered your fold through the evil door of the world, then, in the name of Christ crucified, drive him out as you would a wolf from your flock. If anyone wants to be a follower of mine, if anyone wants to follow me, who so humbled and emptied myself that I became a worm rather than a man, who came into the world only to embrace the cross, to set it in my heart, to love it from my youth, to long for it in all the days of my life, to carry joyfully, preferring it to all the joys and delights that heaven and earth could offer, and not being content till I had died in its divine embrace. If anyone therefore wants to follow me, thus abased and crucified, he must glory as I did, only in the poverty, humiliations, sufferings of my cross. Let him renounce himself. Excluded then from the company of the friends of the cross are those who take pride in their sufferings, the worldly wise, the intellectuals, and the skeptics who are attached to their own ideas and puffed up with their own talents. Away from you be those endless talkers who make the great show but produce, who make a great show but produce nothing but vanity. Away from you those who so-called devout